How could you do that? You're a man of God. We got to get that out of your life. That's what this drum is here for. And so he encouraged me to work on that and to focus on that. And I did. And today I don't smoke cigarettes. And that's because of Pastor Marty. That's because of the man that Pastor Marty is. God brought him into my life. And one thing that Pastor always says when he's up here, he says it all the time, and it just touched my heart every time. He says, I wouldn't be here today if somebody wasn't praying for me. When he was out living that crazy lifestyle before he knew the Lord, he said that he had someone praying for him. Someone that was believing in him. Someone that was going to God and asking God to change his heart and change his life. And he wouldn't be here today. And I know that's true. That's so true. Every time he says that, I think about my own life. And that's true. I wouldn't be here either if somebody didn't say a prayer for me. I wouldn't be here if somebody didn't believe in me. And I'm looking out at some faces here. And I know some of you. And I know some of you wouldn't be here either if someone wasn't praying for you. We're here by the grace of God. And so I'm very thankful for Pastor Marty. I'm thankful for his prayers. I'm thankful for him believing in me. And one thing I want to share with you, I was bad. I was that guy that would come up to you and say, hey, would you pray for Chris? Would you keep him in your prayers? Because he needs help. The reason people were asking for prayers for me is because everything they tried to do didn't work. Every single time they tried to help me, I would just turn against them. I would rebel against them. I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And so all they had left was prayer. And I'm thankful for the people in my life that prayed for me. I'm thankful for the people in my life that believed in me and didn't give up. And so I decided to call tonight's message The Rebellion. Because that's what people do when people try to help them. What do? They rebel against them. And more people are rebelling against God. They're rebelling against his church. And they're rebelling against his word. It seems like the more we try to help people, the more they turn away. And it can be very frustrating at times. I know that many of you here have people like that in your life right now. I guarantee that someone sitting there, maybe it's a brother, a sister, a son, or a daughter. It seems like no matter what you do, you can't seem to get through to that person. And so what do you have left? All we have is prayer. And so I want to look at the Bible. And I want to look at some examples tonight because the Bible teaches us how to handle these people. And instead of telling us to give up on them, to wash our hands, to just say, you know, I tried, I'm done. It doesn't say that. Actually, it says to pray for them. And in Genesis chapter 18, Abraham prays for Sodom. Actually, he tries to negotiate with God not to destroy the city. We all know the story, Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know, Abraham standing outside the city. It's a city full of sin, and God's going to destroy it. And what's he say? He said, God, if there's 50 righteous people, would you spare it? And God says, if there's 50, I'll spare it. But there wasn't. And so Abraham went down the list, and know what he was doing? He was negotiating for the lives of sinners. He was negotiating for the lives of people who had turned their back on God. Instead of Abraham saying, that's right, God, wipe them out, instead, he was negotiating with God to spare their lives. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed on behalf of God's people. He prayed for God's people. And here's a very powerful example. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen prays for his murderers. Stephen was arrested for being a believer, a follower of Jesus, and they took him outside the city, and they began to stone him. And as they were throwing stones at him, instead of Stephen pleading for mercy from God to spare his life or save him, he says, God, don't hold this against them. He prayed for the very men that were taking his life. The Apostle Paul, he prayed for people he served. If you look in the book of Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, and Thessalonians, every single opening of those books, he begins with a prayer for the people that he's sending the letter to. He prays for the people. And all throughout the Old Testament, you can see Moses pleads with God for mercy on behalf of Israel many times. Many times while they're wandering through the wilderness, the nation of Israel turned their back on Moses. They rebelled against him. And he didn't turn his back on them. He didn't give up on them. No, he went to God and he prayed for them. He pleaded with God for mercy. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to take a look at Numbers and we're going to talk about Moses and Aaron. But before we do that, we're going to pray and we're going to invite God into the service tonight because I believe that God has given me a word for somebody here tonight. And this isn't about me, it's about him. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I just pray for the next few moments, God, that you would be glorified. God, that your name would be lifted up. I pray that your word would go forth and touch a heart of somebody here, God. I pray that we have an encounter with you. God, I ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to move through this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the verses I'm going to read to you tonight are of the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41 through 50. I'm going to read the verses, and then we're going to go back. I'll give you a little background. So in Numbers chapter 16, 41 through 50, it says, "The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. 'You have killed the Lord's people,' they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. And then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once.' And they fell face down. And then Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer and put incense in it, along with burning coals from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. For wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started.' And so Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people. But Aaron offered incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. And then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped." So I want to give you a little background. There was a man named Korah, and Korah was a Levite. And one of the responsibilities that God had given the Levites was taking care of the tabernacle of the Lord. That was their job. That was their assignment. They had to take care of the tabernacle. And one day, Korah and 250 leaders showed up to Moses' tent, and they turned on him. They began to rebel against him. They rebelled against Moses and Aaron because they were unhappy with the assignment that God had given them. They didn't want to take care of the Lord's tabernacle no more. They wanted the priesthood. They wanted Moses and Aaron's job. They wanted their position. They wanted more. And when God seen that Korah and his men had rebelled against him and they had turned against him, he told Moses and Aaron, he said, "Get away from this assembly. Get away from these people, for I'm going to wipe them out." And Moses and Aaron did that. They got away from the people. They stepped aside. And the Bible says that the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, his men, their families, and all of their possessions. Wiped them completely out because they rebelled against God. You see, those men were killed because they rebelled against God. God does things his way. It was him that gave them assignment. It wasn't Moses and Aaron. It was God that gave them their assignment. And they chose to rebel against him, and so God wiped them out. And so would you believe that the very next morning, the whole nation of Israel shows up outside of Moses and Aaron's tent? And this is where the story gets good. So the nation of Israel shows up outside of his tent, and they begin to rebel against him too. Moses could have easily given up on them, because when God seen their rebellion, he said the same thing. He said, "Moses and Aaron, get away from them, for I'm going to wipe them out too." But instead of giving up on them like he did Korah and his men, instead of just stepping aside, Moses and Aaron did something different this time. The Bible says that Moses fell on his face and he began to cry out to God. He began to plead with mercy for the people, that God wouldn't wipe them out, but God would have mercy on them. But it was too late, because the plague had already started and people already began to die. And so Moses, he told Aaron, he said, "Get your censer. Get burning coals from the altar." And I want to take a look at verse 47 and 48. This is a very powerful verse. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to pray for the lost and for the broken and for the sick. I just told you a minute ago, I would not be here if somebody didn't pray for me. I was lost and broken. I was addicted. I was an abusive husband, an abusive father. I was a deadbeat dad. I was no good. And everybody had every reason to turn their back on me. And Moses and Aaron had every reason to turn their back on the people of Israel, because they turned on them. But listen to what happens in verse 47 and 48. And if you don't get anything tonight, get this. Listen to what he says to Aaron. He says, "So Aaron did as Moses said, and he ran in the midst of the assembly." See, the plague had already started amongst the people. "But Aaron offered an incense and made atonement for them. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague had stopped." See, Aaron took incense and coals, and he took his censer. And he says, the Bible says he ran in the midst of the assembly. Brothers and sisters, the plague had already started. People had already started dying. He was running over dead bodies. He was running as fast as he could because he wanted to save them. And the Bible says that he made it to where the plague had stopped, and he stood there. And this is what he did. He held up his offering, and he stood between the living and the dead, between the same people that turned his back on him, the same people that wanted to hurt him. And what did he do? He prayed for him. He prayed that God would have mercy on his souls and that he wouldn't wipe them out. But unfortunately, 15,000 people had died because of the rebellion. Because they chose to turn their backs on God. Because they chose to do things their own way. 15,000 people died because of the rebellion. And the world today is full of rebellion. People are turning their backs on God. Our friends and our families, our loved ones. We all have people like that in our lives. I was one. People were trying to help me. People were going above and beyond, trying to open up doors for me, give me opportunities, give me jobs, give me advice, help me out. You know what I did? I turned my back on them. And Moses and Aaron didn't give up on the people. They had every right to. And Jesus didn't give up on us. Jesus Christ laid down his life as a sacrifice so that we could live. And just like the Israelites didn't deserve it, we didn't deserve it either. He gave up his life anyways. Even when we were in our sin, the Bible says Jesus died while we were yet sinners, while we were living that crazy lifestyle, while I was getting high, while I was getting drunk, while I was hitting my wife with a car. He laid down his life for me, and he laid down his life for you. God did a marvelous thing through Moses and Aaron. He painted a picture for us. He gave us an illustration of what it's like to intercede on someone's behalf. You know, people come up to me all the time and they say, Chris, my brother, you know, he's struggling, or my daughter. Will you pray for my son? Will you pray for my daughter? You know what I say? I'll keep him in my prayers. I'll be praying for him. That's not what God is looking for. God is looking for somebody that will offer up a sacrifice. He's looking for somebody to stand between the living and the dead. He's looking for somebody that will go all the way to the end, to the limits, that will bombard the gates of heaven with their prayers. That's how we pray for other people. He's not looking for us to give up. He's not looking for us to wash our hands and say, oh, I've done all I can. That's it. It's over. No, he's looking for us to pray. And we're the church of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of God. And God is calling us to pray for the lost and for the sick and for the broken, not to give up on them. Like I said, God did it through Moses. He did it through Jesus. And he'll do it through you. We all have people in our lives that we're trying to help. Seems like nothing works. God's not calling us to give up on him. He's not calling us to quit. He's calling us to pray. That's what we're called to do. Many of you know me here today. You know that I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he lived for me, he died for me, he rose from the grave. He's my Lord and Savior. I'm not the person I used to be. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe that he's coming soon. I believe that we're a church and we're called to pray. But you know what? I didn't always believe. I didn't always believe in Jesus. I didn't even care. I want to share a scripture for you. And every time I read this scripture, it reminds me of my wife. It's Matthew, chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless those that curse you. Do good to them who hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And you're probably saying, why would that remind you of your wife? Because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. In 2009, I got drunk, and I tried to leave, and I hit my wife with a car. She had every reason to turn her back on me. She had every reason to file for a divorce. She had every reason never to speak to me again because I almost killed her. But she did something different. She was the Moses and the Aaron in my life. Instead of giving up on me, she said a prayer. She prayed that God would touch my heart, and she prayed that he would change my life. She picked up the phone and she called a pastor to come see me. And I didn't know Jesus. I didn't go to church. But I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. God is looking for somebody just like that. God's not looking for people that are going to give up. He's going to look for people who fight, who stand in the gap and pray and believe that God has the power to change lives, to break the chains of addiction, to overcome strongholds. Listen, guys. I'm only going to be a few more minutes. This isn't a really long message. It's not what you're willing to do for God. It's not even what you're willing to give to him. It's what he's willing to accept. And God is looking for a sacrifice. He is looking for a church that is willing to pray for the lost and for the broken. He's looking for a church that will pray for their friends and their families and their loved ones. He's looking for a church to pray for the addicted, the ones that stab you in the back, the ones that talk bad about you, the ones that throw you under the bus. He's looking for you to pray for the people that no matter what you do, they seem to keep taking advantage of you. We know those people. I have them in my life today, and God's calling me to pray for them. And that's what God is looking for from you tonight. He's looking for men and women of God that don't gossip, that don't slander people, that don't put them down, don't throw them under the bus, don't say bad things about them. He's looking for people that love one another, that pray for one another, that bombard the gates of heaven, that stand between the gaps, stand between the living and dead. And I want to ask you tonight, who is God calling you to pray for? Who is it in your life that you've tried to help over and over again, but nothing seems to work? Is it your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister? Who is it? Because I guarantee you, as I'm standing here sharing this short message, that God has put someone in your heart right now, that there is a name that you're thinking about right now. There is a person that's struggling, that you've tried over and over and over again, but nothing seems to work. My wife stood by my side for years. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but that's what she did. She stood by my side for years, and she never gave up. And so I want to give you an opportunity to pray for that person tonight. I'm going to ask some of my prayer people to come down. And if God has put a name in your heart, I want you to come down. I want to stand with you. My brothers want to stand with you. We want to pray for them tonight. We want to believe that God has the power to change their lives, to break the chains of addiction, to help overcome any obstacle that may be in their life. So I'm going to close in prayer. And when I'm done, before you leave here tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to come down here and pray for that person. Father, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would help our friends and our families that are lost. God, I pray for those who are addicted. I pray for those who are hurting and in pain. God, I pray that you open up their eyes and their ears, God. Touch their hearts, God. Reveal yourself to them in a mighty and powerful way so they would come to know you just like we do, God. God, we don't want to give up on them. We don't want to see them perish. We want to see them prosper, God. We want to see blessings poured over their lives. So we pray tonight, God, that you would move in their lives in a mighty and powerful way. God, we love you and we worship you and we praise your holy name. We know that you can do all things, that you are our strength and our weakness, our refuge and our rock, God. And we lift these people up to you today, God. Touch their hearts and change their lives just like you did so many here, God. Thank you for the word tonight, God, and thank you for your presence. And thank you for what you're going to do, because I know that you're going to open some eyes and open some hearts, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If God has put somebody on your heart, a name, a family member, I want you to come down. We're going to pray for you tonight. Thank you.